And now, everyone's favorite nightly host, Jay Binkley.
That, sir, is absolutely not true, but we will roll along with it. Got 3 hours tonight. 3 hours tonight. A little bit different than 7 to 9. We follow Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney, but 3 full hours tonight. Last night, Julio, the text line thought I was intoxicated, which I had not had one drink.
I was going to say, was it true?
I remind people, we do the beer segment on Fridays, 7:30 to 8. There's no intoxication involved, but I will have beer on the radio because that's what we do is we taste the beer. But I will say that tonight, please don't be fooled. The full show tonight is going to be a lot of fun tonight, too. Seth Wickersham, who wrote that piece on Patrick Mahomes, ESPN, the magazine, people are talking about it because Pat Mahomes uses ketchup, and ketchup is almost a dirty word around this town. I mean, it was such a debate this summer. Ketchup on a hot dog or not? I never understood that debate.
What's wrong with ketchup on a hot dog?
But anyway, Pat Mahomes likes ketchup a lot. But the man who wrote the article, Seth Wickersham, on here in about 15 minutes, 6:30, we'll talk to Ryan Scott Hall, who's still going to Mexico City. He's a Chiefs fan. He's bought the tickets. He's still going to Mexico City. Halfway feel bad for the guy. You know, he saved money. He's going there. But you know what? He's going to go down there anyway and have a watch party. And evidently, other Chiefs fans are doing it too. So looking forward to that. My weekly conversation with Gary Pinkel comes up tonight at 7:30. And, of course, 8 o'clock inside the Defensive Film Lab with Craig Stout, Arrowhead Pride. So we'll do that. No Chiefs news really today. The Chiefs did not talk today. Monday Night Football game. They push everything back. They didn't talk yesterday. Didn't talk today. I'm sure we'll find out about Sammy Watkins tomorrow. Kind of interested and curious if he plays. Sounds like he probably will. So we'll find out from Andy Reid about the game being moved to L.A. What does this do for the Chiefs? It really does nothing for the Chiefs. And I know it's a home game for the Rams, but it's almost easier for the Chiefs than the Rams. The Rams are practicing in Colorado Springs this week. I think at the Air Force Academy. I'm not sure 100% they're using the Air Force Academy, but they probably are. They've got great facilities there. But there's a lot of fires going around the Los Angeles area, so now they're not going back. They're just staying there in Colorado Springs, and they'll fly, play the game in Los Angeles. The Chiefs, it didn't really matter. You're either going to board a plane, and it's going south to Mexico City, or the plane is going west to Los Angeles International. So it's very easy. Chiefs didn't really have to do anything. They're going to L.A. to play the game, so there's not really, I think, a difference. And then there's a ton of Chiefs fans in L.A. We're from Chiefs fans in L.A. all the time. Reggie from Anaheim that calls all the time, all the postgame shows and the shows. He meets at some bar. It's tons of Chiefs fans. I've seen the videos. There's a ton of them. And when the Chiefs play the Chargers, that facility is dominated by Chiefs fans. It's just something that they have a ton of in Los Angeles because without a team for so long, people just gravitated towards other teams. In baseball news, the NL MVP, the AL MVP come out tomorrow night. But the Cy Young Awards, they did come out tonight. And in props to Major League Baseball for not dropping things like during the middle of a game, like they did the Gold Glove Awards. Let's just throw this bad boy on during football. Let's just take Sunday Night Football and we'll do a Gold Glove show then. No, you do the right thing. You drop it now. Not a lot going on tonight on a Wednesday night. But Blake Snell, the Tampa Bay Rays, won the AL Cy Young Award, led Major League Baseball in wins of 21, led AL pitchers in ERA with the 1.89, and I'm glad for Blake. Blake, remember, was snubbed for the All-Star game. Here's a guy, the Cy Young winner, that was actually snubbed for the All-Star game. Now, he got in it. He got in it eventually. They put Blake Snell in, fortunately, like they should have. But the other thing that's interesting about Blake Snell, he's really one of the only pitchers the Rays have. Because the Rays are all about the opener. But you're not going to have an opener when Blake Snell starts. So Blake Snell wins that award, 169 points for him, 17 first-place votes. Justin Verlander comes in second, once again, 154 points, 13 first-place votes. Corey Kluber finishes a third, 4 second-place votes. Chris Sale came in fourth. Don't have who finished fifth in front of me right now, but I know Trevor Bauer of the Indians ended up finishing sixth. And you could actually make an argument without the injury that Trevor Bauer might have got this the award this year. He was that good for the Cleveland Indians. But who knows the direction Cleveland's going. Remember, the Yankees are interested in Carrasco, and they're interested in Kluber. So it'll be interesting to see what direction the Indians taking this offseason. Where does the AL Central go? Will it still reside in Cleveland? They keep putting an effort forth. They keep winning this division, but they just pee down their legs when it gets to the postseason. Yeah, they got the game 7 a couple years ago, but they never cashed in. And that's the good thing with the Royals. As good as the Indians had, the good a season they had, when they came trotting into Kauffman Stadium, there's the AL Central champion Cleveland Indians last series of the year. That's great and all. And I know the Royals did not have a good year, but you know what? The Royals at least won the World Series. And that's the important thing there. I think the White Sox are actually on their way up. Detroit doesn't know what the hell they're doing, so not concerned about that. But I am curious what Cleveland, which direction they will go on. I had Jeff Flanagan on last night at 8:15. It's on the on-demand section, 610sports.com. He had a nice piece out today about the Royals looking for bullpen, and a lot of the bullpen help might actually be starting depth that they have that just can't quite crack that rotation. But the Chiefs and Rams settled to go play in Los Angeles on Monday night. This is Ian Rappaport earlier on NFL Network talking about the breakdown. What are the Rams doing this week? What are the Chiefs? What are the plans for this week? This is what they said earlier in NFL Net.
As far as what's going on here, you mentioned the tickets, Andrew. And as we speak now, season ticket holders do have the opportunity to purchase their own seats for this game, and then it opens to the general public. Just a couple hours later, and then, of course, the Rams are rewarding so many of the first responders that are doing so much important work now with the wildfires in the L.A. area. But it's actually going to be potentially an interesting dynamic because you're going to have all of these guys, all these people who have not had the opportunity to previously purchase tickets now have, you know, the chance to get to come to one of the best games of the regular season. And then, of course, you have the different situation with the Rams. It's a home game, but it's probably going to feel a little bit like an away game. They're going to be in Colorado Springs, and this is actually a great place to train, and I do wonder how much impact it's going to have, just conditioning-wise, on the rest of the regular season, Mike, considering they're going to stay out there and practice this week.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they're going to have a bye after that. As far as them staying out there this week and not rushing back home, the plans had already been laid. It doesn't hurt you to train at altitude, and it also could wind up being a bonding experience. Some of those guys got out last night to catch the Nuggets game. Aqib Talib was there hanging out with Von Miller, his former teammate with the Broncos. So sometimes you get away for a little bit, can change it up in the middle of a season. That could be looked at as a good thing. As far as the Chiefs go, nothing really changes for them other than the fact that they're going to get on a plane on Sunday, which they were going to do anyway, and that plane is going to head west instead of south and head to Los Angeles. So no major changes for the Chiefs other than they're playing in front of what will be a predominantly Rams crowd, you would think. But a lot of their fans were going to take off anyway to go to Mexico. So if they can change their plans and head out to L.A., it's still not a bad place to be.
And I'm still wondering about that. Phone line 913-576-7610. You going out to L.A. now? Do you already have plans to go to L.A.? Are you going to go see the Chiefs and Rams in L.A.? I'm curious. We're going to be talking to Ryan Scott Hall. He's does the Amateur Hour podcast. And he's still going to Mexico City. You know, he's all fired up for it. He's already going down. He's got his tickets. He's going. He's going to have a watch party down there. Evidently, there's some bar in Mexico City the Chiefs fans are all going to. I'm very curious about this. And I know he's been on the news tonight and everything else. So he'll come on here and tell us exactly what he's doing. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention the NL Cy Young winner. It's Jacob DeGrom of the Mets. He had a hell of a year. So Snell and DeGrom, the MVP awards, will come out tomorrow. Rich Gannon was on the drive today at 4:30, as he is each and every week. And today, it was absolutely fantastic. And we'll bring you some of that as well today, too. Rich Gannon was asked who he'd rather have, Reed or McVay. Would he rather have Tyreek Hill or Brandon Cooks? A better running back, Hunt or Gurley? Better quarterback, Mahomes or Goff? So Rich Gannon answered a lot of questions today, and we'll bring you that stuff as we go. Priest Holmes on with Fesco in the morning this morning at 7:30 on demand, bring you some of what he had to say as well. But coming up next, we'll talk to Seth Wickersham, ESPN The Magazine. Wrote a great piece on Patrick Mahomes that's circulating around. He goes and talks to Cliff Kingsbury. He went and talked to Pat Mahomes. He had a lot of access to a lot of different things and wrote a unique perspective on the arm and the talent of Pat Mahomes. Kind of a different type of article that I haven't seen before. We'll talk to Seth next.
wrote an outstanding piece on Patrick Mahomes, as many people write them, but especially like this one. Senior writer at ESPN the magazine, OTL, at OTL on ESPN, Seth Wickersham. What's going on, Seth?
How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. And the piece that you have, the radical confidence of Patrick Mahomes. Interesting piece, interesting subject. When's the last time that you saw a guy that was kind of moving the needle such as Patrick Mahomes?
You know, that's interesting. There are templates for quarterbacks like him. You know, you've seen it where, you know, you want to go back and, you know, Kurt Warner sort of lit the league on fire. That was a surprise. Tom Brady did it. You know, it happens. And you know, with a lot of these quarterbacks, we're so quick to want to crown them and believe in them. You see that with Dak Prescott, where he was almost, you know, celebrated before he had actually arrived. But with Patrick, he's arrived. And he's got this skill set and these gifts that very few quarterbacks in NFL history have. And, you know, you guys have done such a good job covering him in Kansas City that when I was assigned to write about him, I went to his essence, essentially, and decided to write about his arm. And I wanted to know the story behind it and what it's like to be able to throw a football the way that only a few guys a generation can throw it.
It's not only that, but, you know, throwing with the left hand, it's all the weird things that he does. And I found this fascinating, Seth. We had his agent, Lee Steinberg, on not too long ago. And, you know, Pat Mahomes turned down advertisements last year. He just didn't do them. And he's not really doing a ton of them right now, and he probably could. You know, Lee Steinberg's phone rings off the hook. He was telling me there was a company, the cereal company, wanted to make patty flakes. I mean, everybody wants a piece of this, but it's unusual. And I guess his humbleness was the same way when he was drafted. We always thought, okay, he's going to change, but he hasn't. And it's so strange to me how you can be so humble when you sit here and just break a touchdown record of the Chiefs set back in 1964 by Hall of Famer Lynn Dawson, and it's like nothing.
Yeah, and that's the way that he's experienced life, and that's the way that, that's what I wanted to explore, is because, you know, with all these guys, I mean, not to put them in this category yet, but, you know, you look at the three quarterbacks playing now that you know are going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? You got Brady, you got Brees, you got Aaron Rodgers. All of those guys had moments in their careers when football easily could have gone on without them. They were broken before they were great. Whereas Patrick has just sort of experienced life always being able to throw a football long and well. And I find that so interesting because he has improved better than all of the people in his peer group that have made it to the NFL also. But when you go back and watch his clips from high school, it's like he's doing the exact same thing. And so I wonder, like, how much the game has actually changed for him. It reminded me a lot of watching Barry Sanders play, where you watched him play as a little kid, and he was doing the exact same things he ended up doing later in life on an NFL football field. And to go through life like that, where, you know, the uniforms change and the scenery changes, but the game and the throws are essentially the same, is a really, really unique way to go through.
Talking to Seth Wickersham, you can catch this article, ESPN. This is an unbelievable piece, the radical confidence of Patrick Mahomes, just the detail that he went through, and I think really covered Patrick Mahomes better than any article I've seen recently. You know what has people buzzing, Seth? The ketchup story. That Pat Mahomes puts ketchup on everything. That actually, I don't know why it moves the needle so much, but the dude likes ketchup, and I guess he's kind of embarrassed about it.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't see that blowing up the way that it's blown up. You know, like, I wrote this story years ago about Robert Candice, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, and, you know, he wanted to buy himself a pet panther. And so I put that in the story, and, like, the next thing I knew, PETA was, like, releasing press releases that, like, were condemning, you know, caged animals. Like, I mean, I was like, what has happened here? It was just it was an offhanded comment, and it reminds me a little bit of this ketchup thing where, you know, I didn't see that taking off like it took off. I do bet, though, that the next time he goes to a steakhouse in Kansas City, or probably any restaurant, the wait staff will probably just put ketchup on the table and not, you know, put the star quarterback through the indignity of having to ask for it.
Well, there's some reason there's been this big debate in sports, ketchup on a hot dog or mustard, something like that. But I can see pretty soon coming to a store near you, Heinz ketchup with Pat Mahomes' picture on it. I mean, that just, It's just destined to sell in Kansas City. I mean, that is an item right there. The other interesting thing I was interested in, you said you're standing with John Elway as you watched Mahomes warm up at Arrowhead Stadium. And it's always curious, and Rich Gannon comes on this station every week, and he talks, you know, a former MVP is talking about him. But it's amazing the way that the good ones will talk glowing terms about Mahomes. Was there ever any concern? Because everybody's looking for that guy. Is there ever any of that concern with Denver? Because we've had the guys on Denver radio stations. They say the number one thing they're worried about is they know Kansas City has a quarterback for a long time. It's something they haven't had to worry about as much in Kansas City, even though Alex Smith was a good quarterback. But they haven't had a guy like this to worry about.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Patrick hasn't even started 16 games. And he's beaten Denver three times and twice in Mile High Stadium coming from behind. I mean, he is doing to the Broncos what John Elway used to do to the Chiefs. And now Elway's seeing it from the executive suite rather than from the field. And when I was talking to him, you know, I didn't get into that level of detail with him. But again, he's one of the few people who knows what it's like to be able to roll one way and throw the other way without fear. And that's what I wanted to get at. And so I did ask him, I was like, look, when your arm was strongest, like, what was it like to throw a ball? And it reminded me a little bit of that scene in Good Will Hunting where he's trying to explain his genius, and he says, well, I could always just play. It's the thing with genius. You can't explain it. And so these guys have a version of a physical genius and an improvisational genius. And, you know, he couldn't really explain it other than that. And in a weird way, Patrick couldn't either. Because I asked him this. I was like, have you ever had to think about throwing? You ask that of Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I mean, that's all they think about is throwing. Tom Brady has changed his entire motion since he's been in the NFL. And he's like, not a lot. And you go back and you watch video of him in high school and in college, and he essentially is throwing the same way. He holds the ball higher now, but his motion has not changed. And I find that just very few people go through football like that.
You know, it's weird, too, because it's almost like he's playing at Texas Tech still. I mean, the way Chiefs defense has improved, but I tell you, Seth, watching that Patriots game, I'm sitting here going, this is Texas Tech circa 2016. They were fifth in the nation in scoring. They were 128th out of 128th in stopping anybody. Pat Mahomes had that his ability in the stop process that he needed to score each and every time he was on the field. And I see that carrying over with them. And he said something so simple in OTAs last year. He said, my job is just to put the ball in the hands of the playmakers and let them make plays. Instead of me do it, see that. He's got this photographic memory, but he's got this uncanny ability that I rarely see with quarterbacks of putting the ball in their hands when they themselves can make the plays. I've seen it with Brady, and I've seen it with Manning, and now I'm starting to see that kind of vision with Mahomes.
Yeah, and I mean, he stretches the field. He opens up possibilities. You know, there's that line, you know, make the defense defend every blade of grass. Well, not very many quarterbacks can actually do that. And, you know, there was that play against the Broncos in Arrowhead. Chiefs were around midfield, and he rolls right. And Hill is running a deep post away from him. So he's rolling right. Hill is running a post from right to left. And Mahomes didn't see him. He was open, but Mahomes saw him a little bit late. And even as gifted as he is at throwing off platforms, that's a throw you need to at least step into. And so he ended up dumping it off, I think. But, like, most teams don't call that play. I mean, that's not a play that a lot of teams have in their playbook. I'm not even talking about current-day NFL. I'm talking about in NFL history. And it's pretty special.
Yeah, and you know what, finally, Seth, I find it interesting you're talking about Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's an offensive genius. I have longed for the day, if he's ever released by Texas Tech, to be on Andy Reid's staff, because I know they do a lot of plays. Texas Tech will run some Kansas City plays, and Andy Reid took what made Mahomes successful at Tech and ran it. It's so funny that I read something in the Dallas Morning News where Gary Patterson, the head coach of TCU, was watching Chiefs game film this year to get ready for Texas Tech. This whole Kingsbury-Reed respect going on, this is unusual. And you sat with Cliff Kingsbury. Does he just marvel at Pat Mahomes and what he's become?
Well, yes and no. I mean, he marvels at him, but he's also not surprised because, again, he's doing the same things he did there. And it's a different offense. I mean, what the Chiefs do is very different than what Texas Tech did.
Sure.
But, you know, he doesn't say, wow, it's great to see that he is able to do, you know, this. I wish we could have capitalized that on this when he was a Tech. I mean, he just shows him playing football, and it's essentially the same guy. I mean, he's a little bit more polished in his footwork. He holds the ball higher, but it's essentially the same. Not a lot has changed, and that's the part that I found just so interesting because, you know, I just don't – that just doesn't happen that much in the NFL. You know, so much of what we've done with quarterbacking is break it down into these technical aspects where, you know, we're showing evolutions in footwork and release and velocity and placement. And with Patrick, so much of it hasn't changed at all. And so much that when I was with Cliff, I pushed him on that. I was like, how could this not be different? And yet you watch him play there and here, and it's essentially the same guy out there, just with, you know, a little bit more polished, a little bit, you know, more fluent at reading defenses. He's better, but he's doing the same things he always did.
Man, I'm telling you, Seth, you outdid yourself on this one. This is a great piece, and it has people in Kansas City really talking about this story. At Seth Wickersham on Twitter, he's got a link right there, and we'll retweet it out on the 610 Sports Radio as well, ESPN.com. Just a fascinating look at the arm of Patrick Mahomes, the guy, and some funny anecdotes like the ketchup. Seth, you did a great job on the story, and I greatly appreciate you joining us here in Kansas City to discuss it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, we appreciate Seth. Take care.
Seth Wickersham right there, and it's good stuff. And as a matter of fact, in the article, it's Andy Reid has called Cliff Kingsbury a genius. He's a highly respected coach, especially offensively. He was almost run out of Texas Tech last year. I mean, he's almost fired. My scenario would have been, you hire him in Kansas City. I mean, obviously, Andy Reid respects that offense at Texas Tech because they do a lot of the same things Texas Tech does. But imagine him on the staff as a quarterback coach, an offensive consultant. And Kingsbury's going places. If he gets run from Texas Tech, he'll get another job in college football. Who knows? He could end up being an NFL offensive coordinator at some point. I do think there's a role for him here because he is one of the bright offensive minds in college football, and certainly did a great job with Pat Mahomes. But yes, Pat Mahomes likes ketchup. And you know what? So do a lot of people. And I don't know why you don't admit it. There's a lot of people that don't admit it when it's ridiculous to me. If you like ketchup on a hot dog, don't shame somebody for ketchup. Honestly, I never knew why that was a big deal. But whatever. Just let Mahomes have his ketchup.
I mean, that is a little bit
touchdown record.
It's a little bit disrespectful. I think ketchup on a hot dog is different than ketchup on a steak, especially when you go to an expensive restaurant.
Hey, I wouldn't do it, but if you know, if you're going to buy it, do whatever
disrespectful.
You want. Do whatever you want. I mean, I would do that. I'd put some steak sauce on it, A1, something like that. I'm Worcestershire sauce. I'm good with that. But if you want to do it, do it. I mean, if you can throw 31 touchdowns and set a record way before the season's even over.
You do what you want.
Put mustard on it.
You do what you want.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
If you're Pat Mahomes, you put the headband on, you do what you want. I'm perfectly fine with it. Well, the Chiefs game got moved to Los Angeles, even though it was the Los Angeles Rams home game. Ryan Scott Hall does Amateur Hour podcast, and he and his friend, his Dirkness, you've probably seen these guys on Twitter, they do a great job. They're still going to Mexico City. First of all, I want to find out why. What possessed them to do this? Obviously, they probably saved up money to go on this trip, which sucks for them. But I'm curious why they're doing it, where they're going to be in Mexico City. And if you're out there listening and you still plan on going to Mexico City because you can't change your flight, more power to you. It sucks you're not going to Cancun because with this deal, Mexico City, come on, Cancun, Cozumel, it's probably where you'd rather be. But you know what? You're going to go up to the altitude. Hey, we'll find out why Ryan Scott Hall's doing it next. Welcome back. That interview with Seth Wickersham on demand, 610sports.com, wrote a tremendous piece on Patrick Mahomes, really going in depth, talking to Cliff Kingsbury, Pat Mahomes himself, the Chiefs, you name it. It was really good stuff. And he puts ketchup on stuff, and people have a problem with that. So another guy that I know doesn't have a problem putting ketchup on anything, I don't think, is Ryan Scott Hall. You see him on Twitter with he and at his Dirkness, the Amateur Hour podcast, which is incredible. It's really good stuff what these guys do. Ryan is still going to Mexico City. You know why? Because he's a gamer, and that's what he wants to do. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Jay. I'm really not a huge catch-up fan, but I am a big fan of your work, sir. So I'm happy to be here.
I appreciate it. I put a little ketchup on it. You know, I just put a little ketchup on the show and just see where it goes. But, Ryan, I'm fascinated with you guys. I think it's really cool that you and his Dirkness decided to go to Mexico City. That's your team. You went to follow your team, to support your team. Going to Mexico City. I know stuff like that is not cheap. You've obviously made it a destination. I want to go to a road game. I'm going to go to Mexico City. Turns out this was the prime game in the National Football League. The prime game in the National Football League. So were you on pins and needles this week, hoping this field gets turned around?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we were kind of on the opposite end of everybody else, like very much rooting for the game to stay in Mexico City. You know, and you're kind of walking a tightrope a little bit with that, knowing that guys' health might be in jeopardy on the playing surface. You know, but like any piece of news, I know like Brad and Carrington had on, you know, that famous groundskeeper. And it's like anything that he says that's even remotely positive, we're like, yeah, that sounds great. But, I mean, I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall. And so then we just kind of tried to shift our focus and figure out how can we make the best of this situation.
I was wondering, were you thinking, I mean, I'm sitting here going, all right, if they get this turf out, it looks like, you know, they're going to get this thing settled. I can't believe they let it get to this point, to be honest with you, Ryan. I can't believe that we're – this reminds me of 2016, the Canton, the Hall of Fame game, where they weren't able to play it because the paint on the surface was toxic and it was sticking to the cleats. Unacceptable. So was there any thoughts in your mind, okay, let's change our plane tickets? Because I'm sure you weren't even in doubt. I mean, there was a question that they might even play it in Los Angeles. We don't know. I mean, with all the fires and everything going on in L.A., so that posed another issue. I'm sure you guys are kind of in limbo. Where are we going to watch this game?
Well, you know, and the big thing, Jay, is that I'm sure that, I mean, we're talking about, what, 24, 25 hours ago that announcement came out?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that probably haven't even been able to make a decision yet, you know, trying to get in touch with lines or, you know, their hotel or whatnot to try to figure out what their options are. And I think that that's been one of the big motivators for Dirk and I in trying to say, you know what, like, we're going to try to host a watch party and, you know, let's go take this big group photo and stuff to at least show people that, like, if you feel like your best option is still going to Mexico City, then let's have some fun. Like, let's make this a memorable experience for the right reason instead of just being frustrated that you have to be there and the game isn't there anymore.
Man, I love that attitude, dude. I love that attitude, man. You're like, you know what? We're going to make the best of it. I mean, you can sit and complain about it. You can say, woe is me, but you're still going to do it and you're making the best out of it. So when are you going, Ryan? Are you going to be there a couple days? I mean, what are your plans?
So we fly out Sunday. We get there like Sunday morning, and then we're going to be there till Wednesday. We come back like Wednesday afternoon. So we're going to do our best depending on, you know, essentially like what happens with, you know, whoever else ends up joining up with us, to try to just fill that time with different stuff, enjoying Mexico City. I mean, a lot of people may not recognize Mexico City is one of the biggest in the entire world. It has like 20 million people.
Oh, it's huge.
And so, you know, you look at like the nightlife there, the music and the food and the culture. It has, I think they have more museums in Mexico City than any other city in the world. Like, it's a really, really cool place. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans were going based on the game. But it's just such a cool experience to be there for all the other things. And I think it'd be a really cool opportunity to show it's not just about Azteca, right? Like, there's so many other things that you can do there. And I really just want, as best we can, to change people's opinion about what's happening.
Did I see this right? Is there really a Buffalo Wild Wings right down by the stadium?
We are doing our best to try to find something that feels more, let's call it authentic. than instead of going to Buffalo to watch the game.
Well, that sounds authentic, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, we haven't totally been out of venue just yet for where we're going to watch the team, but we've been so fortunate. I mean, it's the power of social media, man. We've got so many different people that are reaching out to us. And I mean, Dirk and I both appeared on local news today,
which is great.
And so, like, as I guess, like, awareness, for lack of a better word, is growing, it's certainly opening up doors where we can try to communicate with a lot of different places. And we have some friends that are going down a couple days before us that are going to try to scout out some locations too. So, I mean, honestly, man, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants and just, like, enjoying this ride. And I think it's going to be a really good time.
I think so too. And this will be a memory. And this will be a story for you, Ryan. When you and Dirk are in a bar in 10 years, when you're talking about the game you didn't see, right? You'll be talking about this. And so other people are going to be meeting up with you. I was talking to Pete Sweeney earlier, and he's going to kind of update people, I guess, on Arrowhead Pride, you know, kind of where you're having your deal. Because that stuff's read all over the place. So I'm sure people would see it, know where your watch party is, and they'll go join you. That's what the hope is.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, we'll be putting updates on the Amateur Hour Twitter feed, which is at AHPKC. But honestly, man, like, stuff isn't really set in stone. But at least as far as, so like on Monday, on the day of the game, we're going to meet with, a fan group that's based in Mexico City, at like one of their big monuments. It's called the Angel of Independence. We're going to meet them there at 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday to take a big group photo. And at least based on the response that we've gotten on Twitter, this is going to be a huge picture, and I'm sure people end up seeing, you know, whether it's from Amateur Hour or from Arrowhead Pride or whatever, like, people are going to be able to see that. And I think just even that is going to show, you know, kind of like the reach of what Chiefs Kingdom is, man. I mean, it really does feel like a family in a lot of ways, and we're just kind of a community together through this opportunity.
Well, Ryan, I think it's fantastic. Make sure you let, you know, people at the station, and let me know. I've got a show on Sunday. So if you find out where you're going or what you're doing, please send me a message, whatever you need to do. Tell me where it's at so I can get the word out for you. Whatever I can do to help you, you know, be able to reach some of the people, just let me know, man. Be more than happy to do anything I can.
Dude, thank you so much, Jay. We really appreciate it. And, I mean, honestly, like, it's just another example of, like I said, like, what Chiefs Kingdom really is. It's really cool to see the kind of support that we're getting, you know, from people here in local media. And it's just, you know, we just want to have fun, man. And I think that, I'm not trying to get too sentimental, man, but, like, it really does, like, warm my heart. I think it's really cool. So I really appreciate that, buddy. We'll keep in touch for sure.
Well, let's hope there's an eyeball at the Arrowhead Stadium, One Arrowhead Drive, that sees one of you guys on TV tonight. Let's hear that maybe someone's driving home from work and hears this. I think it would be really cool if the Chiefs, I mean, and they don't have to do anything, clearly. Big organization. But to me, I think it'd be outstanding if the Chiefs did something for you guys. I do. I honestly think it'd be cool if the Chiefs heard your story, still know you're going down there because you spent the money to go down there and did something for you, man. I'm talking hook you up in a suite at Arrowhead Stadium with all the beer and food you can drink because you went to Mexico City. That's my hope, that they will reach out because of what you're doing, man. That's what I hope.
Well, I mean, amen, brother. I'm not gonna argue with that.
I'll do something for you.
I don't really want to put the onus on the Chiefs. I don't think that,
just in case.
It's not their responsibility because they didn't do anything wrong here. But, I mean, like, we are two very big Chiefs fans, and yeah, a suite sounds fantastic, Jay. How about that home playoff game coming up? Sounds good to me.
Well, you know what? Maybe not the Chiefs. Maybe the National Football League. Maybe it'll get in their ears. Maybe they'll get in their ears and they'll show some Super Bowl tickets your direction. Because after all, this is the NFL's mistake because they didn't have this field ready to go and didn't inspect it. Maybe the NFL will come through you, Ryan. That's my goal. For the NFL, if the Chiefs not going to do it, let's get the NFL to do it. But I hope you come on this show next week and just kind of tell me all the things you did, how many people came and watched. I'd really want to hear the conclusion to this story, Ryan.
Yeah, man, we'll be there. And if you want to lead that charge, you know, with the NFL, Jay, like we're right there with you, man. I'll go to the Super Bowl too. Sam,
yeah. Hey, I'll lead the charge, man. I hope you have. But I want to hear the conclusion of the story next week. Ryan Scott Hall, this guy is an incredible Chiefs fan, and what he's doing here with his Dirk is crazy. Follow him at Ryan Scott Hall if you want to find information. Send it to me. Like I said, I'll try to get the word out. Ryan, I appreciate you joining me. Have a hell of a time in Mexico City, man. Tear it up. Have a good time, and let me know how you did.
You got it, buddy. Thanks again, Jay. I appreciate
all right.
It.
There you go, Ryan Scott Hall. Man, I just – someone with a little bit of pull at Arrowhead, Julio, I'm not asking a ton here. Or the national football – because to me, the NFL wants these international games. This is an embarrassment to the National Football League that they're not playing this game in Mexico City. That this field wasn't ready. That they had concerts and everything else. This is a synthetic grass that's got a turf blend to it. I had a turf expert on, Jason Clarkson, last night, explaining turf to me in this synthetic blend. But if I'm at the NFL office, I'm saying, you know what? These are great fans. And they're still freaking going to Mexico City. Even though we don't have a game for them. The best game in the National Football League this year. Took the dudes up. Is that so wrong, Julio?
They don't even have to provide any ketchup. He wasn't a fan.
Anyway, I digress. That's Ryan Scott Hall there. Much appreciated for Ryan Scott Hall joining us. Just how big is this game for the Kansas City Chiefs? I think it's got a lot of ramifications. We'll just talk about that next. From the Protein House, Eat With A Purpose text line. Says, sat in a corporate suite a couple games ago and it was tight. But you miss out on the craziness. Texting's got more money than they know what to do with. They're always in suites. Yeah, they're probably in L.A. for this game and at Mexico City. Texline enjoys it, man. Texline enjoys it. Texline has a good time. They really do. They've climbed the Himalayas. They've flown around the world. They've sailed around the world. They've done some amazing things. I feel you, Texline. I feel you. But yeah, if you missed the interview with Seth Wickersham, I recommend you go back and listen to it on demand section. Because if you missed it, he says, the other day in Mahomes' apartment in the Country Club Plaza neighborhood of KC, his grandfather asked him, what's it like to be famous? For one thing, it means he eats less ketchup. He spent most of his life putting ketchup on everything. He would get bottles of it for his birthday. If you want to know this whole craziness and why I asked Seth Wickersham about ketchup, that's the one. That's the main part of the story that's taken off because that's typically how things work. He spent most of his life putting ketchup on everything. He would get bottles of it. But now that everyone is watching every movie he makes, he is sheepish about ordering ketchup. At a restaurant recently, his mom, Randy, recognized an unfilled desire as he dove into a steak. Just ask for it, Randy said. I know you want it. Patrick wouldn't. So she asked for the ketchup and slipped it to him.
So,
his mom felt bad for him. He's eating a steak. It's probably a nice steakhouse. And he just, because everybody's, oh, it's Pat Mahomes. And then you went to, that's Pat Mahomes putting ketchup on steak. I don't think people would have cared.
I'm gonna go ahead and put money on the fact that either Heinz or some ketchup type company is going to send him a couple cases of ketchup. He's going to get free ketchup for the rest of his life now. That's what's going to happen.
Just call it Patsup.
It's clever.
They already have a cereal coming out called Patty Flakes. Patsup.
I see what you did there.
But how do you have to be if you are the number one athlete in this town and you're at a steak restaurant and you're so concerned about putting ketchup, and his mom's sitting there and he's probably looking at that steak and she knows he wants ketchup and she goes and grabs the bottle, hands it to him. He needs a touchdown celebration where he just, you know, pretends to pour that ketchup on that football.
Well, I just imagine him going out to dinner with the rest of the team and him asking for ketchup as he's eating his steak and everyone just giving him crap for eating his steak with ketchup.
He's got 31 probably scarred him for life. Passes. He's got 31 touchdown
passes.
Do what
he wants.
Who the hell cares what he does? But this game, and we'll talk plenty more about the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. Craig Stout inside the Mahomes Film Lab joins us, or not Mahomes Film Lab, but I got Mahomes on my mind. Inside the defensive film lab, that's Kent Swanson tomorrow because he breaks down Pat Mahomes and we talk to him each Thursday. But I like this game for a couple of reasons. One, it's a test for the Chiefs. Because if you look at the schedule, there's not a lot of test. And to me, the Cardinals kind of bored them. Because the Cardinals aren't any good. And I know the Chiefs weren't great in that game. But you know what? They still won the game 26-14. It's not this eye-popping numbers of 38-10, the 45-10 Bengals game. I think the Cardinals bored them. They needed a little stimulation. You know, smart kids when they're in elementary school, and a lot of times, you know, the teacher will talk to the parents and say, well, your kid's too smart, they're bored. It's not that they're dumb and not doing their homework. It's just easy for them. This actually happened to me once in second grade, Julio. Now, it wasn't because I was smart. It turned out to be something far different. It turns out I had attention deficit disorder, meaning I just didn't care. So it wasn't like this stuff was passing me by because I was too smart. That would have been the greatest option. Parents would have been very happy for that. No, it's just that I didn't care because I have a short attention span. But this team bores them. Now, the Rams, this is a real challenge for the Chiefs. Keep in mind, the last four games, ever since that Patriots game, the Chiefs have allowed 10 points, 23, 21, and 14. That is a mark of a defense that you want. That defense is fourth in the National Football League in the last month, just giving up 17 points a game. Challenge. Because after the Rams, you go back out to Cali and play the Raiders. And if you ever watch MMA fighting where people tap out, that's what the Raiders do every day. They wake up, when they traded Khalil Mack, they went, tap out. So you get the Raiders. Not only do you have the Raiders once, you got them twice. And then you got the Ravens that are kind of going the opposite direction. Snooze fest there. Then you have the Chargers. Then all of a sudden, all right, that team's got your attention. Everybody loves the Chargers. It's America's darling. It's America's hot take. Even though the fact that people don't realize the Chiefs have beaten the Chargers 9 straight times. I live in the show me state, Julio, and I'm pretty sure you live on the Missouri side of the state line. If I'm wrong, correct me.
That is correct.
What is the state motto in the state we live in?
Talking about show me state.
The show me state. Show me that you can beat the Chiefs, and then we'll talk about it. If you can beat them, and keep in mind, this goes back to 2013, and the last time the Chargers beat the Chiefs is when they played a JV unit with Chase Daniel starting, and they almost won that game. They miss a kick, and they go to overtime. Or it would be 10 straight games. And again, I've always said, Chargers need to send Andy Reid Father's Day cards. He's their daddy. He owns them. He owns the AFC West. He owns the Denver Broncos. This is Andy Reid's division. He made it clear, I'm going to win this division, and he is. So, but the Chargers, I do think, pose a challenge. Phillip Rivers, once you get to the Rams, the best quarterback, unless you want to make an argument that he's better than Goff, whatever. I still think that Phillip Rivers is still in that echelon. Best quarterback to have not won a Super Bowl. Even though I thought Andrew Luck, pre-Andrew Luck injury, even though he's having a pretty good year this year, had surpassed him on that list. I so bad wanted to put Stafford on that list. I thought I was going to put Matt Ryan on that list. I just can't. Phillip Rivers just won't go away.
What about the Seahawks? I mean, they're a little bit on the downside right now, but while they're not the powerhouse that they were, you know, 2 years ago, they still, I think, could pose a threat to these guys. And Russell Wilson's always a challenging quarterback to play against.
No, absolutely. But, you know, it's a team that's 4-5. It's not exactly a huge threat, but the game is in Seattle. It is the second loudest stadium in the NFL. Although they'll tell you until they're blue in the face, they're the loudest in the stadium.
It's nonsense.
Well, the problem is,
it's nonsense.
They paid Guinness. And if you pay Guinness $10,000, they'll show up and say you're the loudest. I'm pretty sure, Julio, if you and I went to a park here in Kansas City, paid the $10,000, and they'd say, that is the loudest outdoor flag football game in the history of the world because you and I slipped them 10 G's. They flew here from England. They said it would be. I just think it could be that easy.
I think that's something we can accomplish if it's a flag football game.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it? The world's loudest outdoor football game? Shifting gears, because I do a lot of shifting gears on Wednesday night and talk a little local college football as we talk K-State and we talk Missouri this hour. Talk to John Kurtz out in Manhattan, Kansas. A lot of weird things. Not allowed to talk to the media this week, Kansas State. What's going on there? Are they going to be in the same coaching search type situation that Kansas is on now? Plus, the Kansas State Wildcats basketball team is extremely good this year. A lot of expectations. We'll talk K-State Wildcats next.